Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it is a good day to die to yourself, the ultimate goal. Amen. Would you turn to Psalm 27, please? Now, the Word tells us that the path of the righteous is narrow and difficult. The path of the wicked is broad, and many enter into it, but not many enter into the narrow path. And in that narrow path, it's a place where we are to maintain. And in that path, it is narrow and it is difficult, and you'll find that God begins to narrow that path even more. Things that you thought were okay were no longer okay. You know, a diamond is processed by pressure. It's first coal. It's black. It's dirty. It's only good for fuel. But when it's pressured for a period of time, it turns into a diamond, which becomes transparent. Same thing with the anointing oil. The anointing oil is olives that are crushed. The wine is grapes that are crushed. And everything that God does with us, to make it plain and simple, is He crushes us. And in the areas where He knows that things are not healthy for us, things that are not pleasing to Him, He lets us go along for a period of time, then He begins to expose it. And in this path, it says that it is difficult, and not many people like to stay in this path. Many people will run from this path because they'll look for an easier way out. And the Word tells us that in the last days, many will try to find teachers to tickle their ears because they refuse to hear the truth. And they will run to and fro and try and find individual teachers that will teach them what agrees with them. But it won't be truth. So again, these times are difficult and narrow. And one of the things we never want to do is look for the easy way out. We want to maintain the path of righteousness and let God deal with us according to His will, so that you can become transparent, and in that transparency, you'll become in His image and likeness. Because the ultimate goal is to stand before Him with clean hands, isn't it? So we must come out of this arena of the soulish arena. We must not become men pleasers, but God pleasers. And even in this arena where you're walking in this narrow path, you'll find that those things that God is not pleased with, He'll trip you up on, slap you in the back of the head a couple times. And He'll say, come on, awaken. Why? Because even in this path, people can fall asleep. They can become weary. They can become drowsy. And what begins to happen is the enemy begins to put the veils back on over our eyes and over our hearts. And the next thing we know is we're not in that path anymore, and we're finding the easy way, and we go right into the hands and employ the enemy. And it may have a sense of false comfort and a sense of false security, but it's only temporary because we know that the end result is destructive and disastrous. And in Psalm 27, would you start with me in verse 1, please? The Lord is my what? Light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, on whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I'll offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me, nor turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. So what is he saying? He's saying, seek his face. And in this area, it's a place where we are seeking not only his face, because when you seek his face, he's saying, don't seek my hand. Don't seek my hand, seek my face. And when you seek my face, you are in my hiding place. You are in the secret place with me. Now it's amazing because Adam and Eve were able to see the face of God. They walked and talked with the Lord in the garden. Now the Bible of course says man is not, any man who has seen the face of God has died, but Adam and Eve were not just man. They were glorified. They were eternal beings. Does everybody got it? And in this, and I know I can share with you that when I had my visitation from the Lord, the glory of God was so intense that my body could not take it. I could not take it. But of course, I realized that I was going to die. I was going to die in his presence. And I wanted it. I wanted to die. I did not want to come back here. I wanted to stay with him forever. But it wasn't my time. That's why we look and drive to that area where we are willing to deny ourselves, die to ourselves, so that the life of Christ can live in us. That secret place of seeking his face is in relationship, in character. And he is your source of everything. Seeking his face. Seeking what? His face. It is everything of who he is. He says, seek me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. See, so many times people give up. They become complacent and compromised. They no longer really truly seek the Lord. They become ritualistic. And they become to serve rituals instead of seeking his face. And it's something that we must be careful, because what's happening when we begin to do that, we're beginning to fall out of the narrow path. And as we begin to fall out of the narrow path, the enemy begins to put the veils back on our eyes and on our heart. In Psalm 24, would you turn there, please? In verse 1, would you read it with me, please? The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in there. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who what? Seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates. These gates are called veils. And be lifted up, everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. So he's saying again, seek his face, but those who want to dwell in his place must have clean hands and a pure heart. That's why walking in that narrow path is always going to keep your hands clean and your heart pure. And when your hands become dirty and your heart becomes perverse, you begin to walk out of that path. And the veil again becomes on your eyes. And you can no longer see what God wants you to see. You can no longer hear what he wants you to hear. And your heart becomes rebellious, to where we're now rejecting what the counsel of the Lord is. Isaiah 59. He's a source, and everything else is a resource. When your resources become your source, you're out of divine order. Are you listening? Psalm 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, that it cannot save, that it cannot heal. Has everybody got it? Isaiah 59, verse 1. That it cannot heal, that it cannot deliver. Are you listening? His hand is not short, nor his ears heavy, that it cannot hear. But your what? Iniquities have separated from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with what? Blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. He says that the sins and iniquity have separated man from God. That's why a veil came. He has hidden his face. In other words, his face has been veiled. Are you listening? Why? Because of sin and iniquity. Sin and what? Iniquity. Go to Proverbs 23. You know, there's something that David always said. He said, I always see the Lord before me. I always see. When you are looking for the Lord, you should see him before you. If he is distant from you, there's a reason. Although God does play hide and seek occasionally, he hides so you seek him more. And the reason why he wants you to seek him more is because there's something you're carrying he wants to get rid of. There's something that is in your life that he knows is going to cause you to stumble later, and he's trying to remove it. Or he's trying to cause you to shed your wineskin so he can get you a new one. Why? Because he's got new wine for you. But see, the path is narrow and difficult. Too many times people give up. They just quit, and they want to run the easy way. But there is no easy way, is there? It's always into the hands of the enemy. In Proverbs 23, in verse 1, it says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat, if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are what? Oh, this is powerful. They are what? Deceptive food. They are what kind of food? Deceptive. In other words, if you eat of it, you will be deceived. And there is deceptive food, and the enemy has deceptive food so that he can deceive you. And when that deception comes, because his greatest weapon is deception, what happens when you eat of that food? The veil starts to come back on again. Is everybody all right? Ooh. It started right in the garden What happened? Eve ate what? Deceptive food. And then she gave the deceptive food to her husband and he ate. And you know what happened? They both became blind to the face of God. They both became blind to the serpent. They were taken away. A veil was set. Because they ate deceptive food. Oh. And the veil still remains on people. But many go back to eat deceptive food of the world to fulfill the soul and the flesh. But it is only temporary because it's like a desire for fast food. It's fast food. It's easy way out. No cooking involved. No recipe. Just fast food. Boom. It's the easy way out. Drive through. But there is deceptive spiritual food. That's why the Bible says that your good habits can be corrupted by bad company. The enemy is feeding deceptive food through TV, music, all kinds of things. He's trying to, again, promote his religious belief system. Remember, Satan's greatest accomplishment was to establish religion. Are you listening? And that religion brought bondage, didn't it? And religion is nothing but a self-belief system. It's flawed. It doesn't agree with God. It agrees with self, soul, feeling. And those things are what Satan's kingdom promotes. In fact, his promotion, if you ever looked at his scriptures, because he's got a Bible too, you know what it says? His main scripture, do what thou feel like. That's why they call I gods. And so forth. Everybody's doing what they feel like on TV. I'm telling you, you see some goofy stuff on TV, man. Everybody's bowing down to money. They'll do great things to get a buck. Eat worms, do all kinds of strange stuff. I'm telling you, man. It's sick. Again, this deceptive food will bring a veil. It started right in the Garden of Eden. There was a veil put, a veil of nature and a veil of the spirit. There was a veil, which is temporary, separating the temporary and the eternal. There was a veil in the dimensional of past, present, and future. And only by the Spirit of God can we break through these veils. Does everybody understand that? That's why Jesus had to come. Because there was a veil between God and man. And you know, we see so much of the women covering their faces, you know, in that veil, especially in the Eastern, in the Middle East and things to that degree. And of course we know that's where Israel and where the Lord came and so forth. And you know, do you ever think why they cover their faces? You know, I mean, in certain areas, it was so no man can look on the woman except for the woman that belonged to the one man. But in that veil also, you know, you might wonder that it could have been established just in the area of the garden. Well, who was the first one that ate the deceitful fruit? The woman. A representation of the veil. But you know, where Christ is, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Freedom. And I'm telling you that the enemy wants to put that veil back on by eating. Once you could be a believer, spirit-filled believer, and begin to eat deceptive food again, and that veil starts coming over you. And it causes you to be short-sighted. It prevents you from fighting and getting into the presence of God. It causes you to compromise and become lazy. Now you're just content with certain things of outer court and never getting into the holy of holies. Because see, there's that place of veil, representation of three-dimensional. Go to Exodus 26 and I'm going to share with you what I saw, which caused this whole teaching. Soon. Exodus 26 and verse 31. Well, we could start at verse 30. And the Lord told Moses, says, and you shall rise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. And it shall be woven with an artistic design of what? Cherubim. Now, in the garden, when the Lord removed him, what did he set? A cherubim, right? With what? A fiery sword. To protect what? The tree of life. Hello? That's what the veil was. It was a protector of God's presence and glory now. Of God's life. No one could access it anymore. You shall hang it between up upon the four poles of the acacia wood overlaid with gold. The hook shall be gold upon four sockets of silver. You shall hang the veil from the glass. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across the tabernacle on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood, overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. So we see here that there was a veil. In the tabernacle of God, there are three chambers, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And every place there is a veil to enter in. Exodus 34. But remember that in the garden there was no veil. It was unveiled. Exodus 34. And verse 31. Would you read it with me? Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. After the children of Israel came near, he gave them as commandments as that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had been commanded. And when ever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with the Lord. And that veil was because the glory of God was always, it only lasts for a period of time, but it's still represented because he was carrying the glory of God on him. Are you listening? That he could not speak to the children of Israel by the glory of God. There had to be a veil. It was still veiled to them. But God allowed Moses to see him. But he did not allow the glory of God on Moses to be seen by anybody else. Because Moses was sanctified by the Lord. And nobody else was yet. Is everybody okay? Leviticus 4. Now I want you to remember that veil. Leviticus 4. In verse 16. And the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle of meeting. Then a priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it how many times? Seven times before the Lord in the front of the veil. Now I want you to understand that Jesus was bled from his body in seven places. two hands, two feet, his head, his back, and his side. Seven places he was pierced. In fulfillment of the scripture. And it says, and he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting, and he shall pour the remaining blood at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So in other words, before the blood in the seven places had to be sprinkled before the veil, before they could even enter in. Does everybody got it? Again, that was the area that was the priest. The priest is the one who had to dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times. Now, we are called to be priests, aren't we? Hallelujah. Go to Numbers 18. Is everybody there? Numbers 18 and verse 7. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your what? Priesthood. For everything at the altar and behind the veil you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, here, I myself is also given you charge of my heave offerings, all the holy gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, and every offering of theirs, every grain offering and every sin offering and every trespass offering which they render to me shall be most holy for you and your sons. In the most holy place you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings and the children of Israel. I have given them to you and your sons, daughters with you, as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. In other words, now they are, I want you to understand, it's a different eat, isn't it? It's an eating of truth. In other words, the things that they were eating, because there were the things that would defile someone what they ate then, and the things that would maintain purity of what they ate then. And we must be careful consistently because we are priests. The veil has been removed from us. We have access to the most holy place, but you better be careful of what you eat. Because if you are eating deceptive food, it will cause defilement. And I mean spiritual food. Has everybody got it? Anybody got it? Praise God. Priesthood is a gift. The Bible says that we are called to be priests and kings. And I'm telling you that the enemy is trying to bring deceptive food so that that veil will come on you again and that you will become defiled and God will not receive the sacrifice of praise. Matthew 27. Because he does not receive blemished offerings. Matthew 27. And verse 50. Everybody getting this? Deceptive foods. The teaching today is called lifting the veil. Lifting the veil. As a man thinks, so he is. It says, don't eat with misers. That's someone who has an evil eye. And verse 50, and it says, Jesus was on the cross, and he cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the what? The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. In other words, the veil that separated God and man had now been opened. had been torn. It had been what? Torn. Because Jesus' flesh was actually the veil. He was the veil that opened up the face of God to His people again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 7. It says, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away." Hello? "How will the ministry of the Spirit not be what? More glorious." In verse 9. "For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were what? Blinded. For until this day, that same veil remains unlifted in the reading in the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ." That word Christ means anointing. The veil is taken away in the anointing. Hello? Has everybody got it? The veil is taken away where? And the anointing. Verse 15. "But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts." In other words, hardened heart. Not willing to receive. Not willing to see. Not willing to hear. "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord..." Now you got to understand something important. So many times we look at this as turning to Jesus, and in this respect, Jesus is Savior, amen, and Lord, because Jesus carried the anointing. He is the anointed one who put on flesh. He was birthed by the Spirit, so Jesus is actually the Son of the Spirit. Hello? And the Spirit is God. But in this, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, who walked on this earth, called the anointing, is called the Lord. Are you listening? Brought by the Spirit. So it says, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." In verse 17. "Now the Lord is the what? Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. The Spirit." Why? Because it's the ministry of the Spirit, isn't it? And it's the ministry of the Spirit that is lifting the veil. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. But we all with unveiled faces." Why? Because of the anointing. It's been taken off. We are unveiled faced. "It is maintained by not eating deceptive food, but eating the things of truth. Maintained in the anointing of Christ Jesus, being filled with His presence, in submission and not rebellion, in surrender and not fighting for your life." All of those areas, and walking in the path of the narrow and difficult, and keeping one's hands pure and clean, and the heart pure and clean. "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord." Hello. I know when you look in the mirror, you don't see too much glory. But it's really there. "And are being transformed into the same image from" what? "Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." That's why the Bible says that we're no longer to acknowledge Jesus in the flesh. Why? Because it's the ministry of the Spirit. And who was Jesus? Jesus was the eternal anointing of God who walked in this realm. He manufactured his own blood, because the blood always goes before the Spirit, so that Jesus could become Savior and we can wash from our sins and the Spirit would have access to us. And he would left the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that walked on this realm thousands of years ago, still walking in this realm, in me and you, called the body. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. Is everybody with me? We are the body, and he is the what? He is the head. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Now go to 2 Corinthians 4. Oh, we're there. In verse 1. Would you read it? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is what? Veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, let me share something with you. How many people do you know are believers that will not read the word? Because the veil is still there. They claim to be believers, they've accepted Jesus as Savior, but he's not their Lord. Are you listening? Because when he becomes Lord, he's Lord over your life. You no longer have a life. Too many people just use him as Savior, although they proclaim him to be their Lord, but he's really not their Lord. He's just their Savior. He becomes Lord of your life in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the scales are removed, and you no longer have a life. Are you listening? But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Whoa, but we have this hidden treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are what? Hard pressed on every side. Talk about the narrow path. Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not what? Forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Powerful. So we see that even those who are proclaimed to be believers but are not reading the gospel, the veil is still there, because he's only their Savior and not Lord. Is everybody okay? Go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. This whole teaching was inspired by the Spirit as he gave me vision. And the vision that I saw was like this huge curtain. And you know how you have to pull up a curtain, right? Not one that slides sideways, but that goes up and down. And you have to pull a rope to pull it up. And I saw the whole body of Christ. I saw everybody in the body of Christ pulling on that rope, lifting the veil, lifting the veil. See, we're all lifters of the veil. Wherever you go, you have the opportunity to lift the veil from somebody by decreeing the truth and standing in the truth and walking in the truth by the anointing of Christ. That's why we are the body. Jesus' body was ripped and torn so the veil could be opened because it was God's desire to have fellowship with man, not man's desire to have fellowship with God. And he can only do that when he manufactured his own blood. Is everybody okay? Because there had to be something that did not cover, it had to remove. And when it removes sin, God, the Spirit, the eternal being, could have relationship with man. But the veil, the true walking veil that was going to be ripped, was Jesus. He walked among us. He decreed the truth. He shared, showed, and manifested everything in the eternal presence of God and who he was. And he hung on the cross for me and you, being the veil that would be ripped and torn so he can have relationship with me and you, so that he can truly be our source of everything. And in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the veil is removed. And we are able to walk in three dimensions. We are able to be taught by the anointing. We're able to have vision, dreams. The word no longer becomes a letter. It becomes a food. We're no longer eating deceptive food. We're eating truth. And it's maintaining us. And even though we go through trials and tribulations, we know that the Lord is with us. And we know that it's just an area of the continued pressing. So we walk just like he walked. The Bible says, imitate God as dear children. But we are holders of the rope of the veil. And as the body of Christ is constantly, and the enemy that fight, as those who are warring and preventing the enemy from causing us to let loose of that rope, that the veil come down. We're constantly pulling that veil, the lifting of the veil. It's our responsibility. And I'm seeing the lifting of the veil powerfully, globally. The body of Christ is raising up like it's never raised up before. And they're pulling that rope. And more of the glory of God is being released in places. And the lifting of the veil and the tearing away that has been established from the fall of Adam and Eve. And mankind, God's children in whom he created, are able to walk through that veil and have relationship and go right to the source of everything of their life. And in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 17, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Go to Hebrews 10. Oh, he went before us. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we've got to hold on. We've got to fight. We can't give up. There is no easy way out. There's only one way or the highway. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll close here, lifting the veil. We see God using His body all over the world and lifting the veil and pulling that veil up so the presence and the face of Christ could shine upon them and they could see clearly the truth. But the enemy fights to put that veil back on us by deceiving us in deceptive food and the things that we eat, because what you eat is what you'll become. What you think is what you've eaten. And you are as a man thinks. 2 Timothy chapter 3. it was so vivid. And I saw as one part of the body was pulling the rope up, the other part of the body had swords. And they were defending around those who were pulling because the attack of the enemy was trying to sway the body and get weak in the body to let go of the rope that was going to bring the veil back down. And the fight continued. But the body was prevailing. The enemy could not prevail against the anointing of Christ. And that's what the word says. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and we are more than conquerors. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Somewhere around there. Oh, let's try chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. Is everybody there yet? Okay. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have what? Itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. But you be watchful in all things. Now, why are they going to be turned away to fables? Because of what they're eating. Do you understand that? But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not to me alone, but to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me and has loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. In other words, he had been betrayed. Paul had been betrayed. And he had been beaten and abused. He had been betrayed by his brothers who were proclaiming to be Christians, but they began to eat deceptive food. And he says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tysias I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carphrius at Tauros when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. In other words, he had been tortured. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And Paul suffered. And one of the things he shared, he said, please avoid those of your brethren who are walking unruly. do not partake of their delicacies because they've eaten deceptive food. Because of those things that you partake, you will become. So you must be careful. Stay sanctified. Stay separated. Keep your hands clean and your heart pure. Stay away from the soulish ministry. Become a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. Stand fast for the glory of the Lord. Don't let go of the rope. Amen. But be lifters of the veil. Fight. We're getting closer and closer. We're getting closer and closer. It's no time to let the enemy veil you. It's time to unveil others. Would you lift your hands to heaven? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for granting our hands to war and our feet to run fast to you. Thank you for the veil that's been removed from our eyes and from our heart. And thank you for the price of the flesh that you brought forth, Jesus, who was torn that we may access your presence and that you could draw us to you. Lord, thank you so much for everything that you've done. Let us not take the price of Christ in vain, in the lifting of our veils in vain. But we pray, Father, that those who are in the body where the veils still lie, that you would baptize them in your spirit and the veils be removed. That the religious arena would be exposed and the doctrines of deception that bring the veil would be destroyed. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. And allow us to walk with you heart to heart, hand to hand, and cheek to cheek. That we may be pleasing to you all of our days. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.